Welcome to the Rediscovering Biblical Manhood podcast. We're growing men who fear the Lord, but do not fear our identity in Christ. The enemy is hard at work in our fallen world. So come on, join us in fighting for the restoration of men's hearts through the church, the word, and our risen Savior, Jesus. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome back to another podcast. Jay, it's good to be back in the booth.
It's great to be back. I feel like we just had a Truman Show reference.
Truman Show for sure. Good day, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Today, we're jumping into a topic that has come up for me plenty this month as we've been walking together through life, and that is the idea of where is God? And if God's in this, how is he in this? But is he in this? Because he's outside of time, right? And 3 weeks ago, I stumbled across a TikTok, then a YouTube by a gentleman called Ask Cliff. And Cliff is an astute, should I say, Netschke, his last name. He's been on Joe Rogan. He's all over YouTube. Even my girls have said they've seen him all over TikTok too. He's basically an apologist that stands in the center of university campuses and gives responses to people that have questions about Christianity. And I've been sucked into a lot of his thinking and talking and thought that this idea of time is something we should discuss because it's something that we both believe as well as something that we've talked about and talked through over time. And that is, where is God and is God outside of time? And by what ways of belief do we believe that? So Jay, let me pause there and let you just kind of weigh in.
Well, I love the idea of talking about time. It's something I've thought about for a long time. And what I can say about time is a tyrant. It just drives our lives. And there's so many seasons to the limited time we have here. And as Christian men, this podcast is aimed at, it's something we need to consider. The book of Ecclesiastes talks a lot about time. It's all about time. And it says that life here is so fast. It's like the blink of an eye. And if you don't wrestle with this, you're going to struggle after the wrong things in this life.
I think of, well, my daughter last night came into the room and apparently at school they're studying Mormonism right now. And something that she said that they're being taught at school about the origins of Mormonism, which I had not heard, which was God was a human and then made his way out of humanism into a spirit-like God-filled world and kind of like accelerated his own power. And then he married, had like babies, I guess, which are the spirits in the world. And that's where I'm sitting here going, wait, what? How have I never heard of this? I thought that he was just found through rocks and glasses in the backyard of a New York backyard by a gentleman called Joseph Smith. But apparently that is the forming of the Lord. Whereas we as Christians believe something different. You know, we believe that we live in a physical world. And when you think of a physical world, the world that you can touch right now, whether it's your leg, whether it's the console next to you, whether it's the chair that you're sitting in, and we know that God dwells in a completely different realm. And that spirit realm is beyond our perception of what you and I would consider physical senses. You know, it's not that God isn't real and that he's this figment of our imagination just up there somewhere doing something thing, and that he's not limited to the physical laws and dimensions of the governing of this world. But knowing that God is a spirit and thinking through what his relationship with time is, there's a whole breakdown that we want to kind of wade into today together.
Well, I think every faith, religion, belief system that has some sort of God as its center has to wrestle with time that we experience and their deity or deities being outside of time. And that's something that humans have to wrestle with, because we all have this innate sense that there's more. And that drives some part of our behavior, some part of our life. If you believe there's nothing, die and you go away. If you have an atheistic worldview, that's going to drive a set of behaviors. If you believe that the God or gods that you serve are mercurial or have some other agenda, that's going to drive a set of beliefs and behaviors. If you follow Jesus Christ and you're a follower of Christianity, that should drive a set of behaviors. And so at the root of all of us, understanding what we really believe about God is, and this is not my quote, it's a very famous quote, the most important thing about a person is what they believe about God, because that is really going to drive how they operate on this planet in this time. And if you don't believe that, just spend an hour or so with somebody digging into this topic. And once you figure out what their belief, the way they live their life is going to make a lot more sense.
Our small, I want to say, finite minds grasp the concept of what is time. So maybe we start there, Jay. When you think of time, what do you think of? Are you thinking like, I go to bed at 10:30 at night, I wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning? Like, when you listeners as well, I'd encourage you to think, when you think time, what do you think?
I think most people don't think about it, to be honest. It's a better topic that's ignored. But, you know, I'm driven by the clock. I'm an executive. I also have dealt with clinical anxiety and a lot of other things. And I'm part of this modern world in the United States and in the Western world where we are just now driven by the clock and by technology. There's some fascinating books about what life was like before the clock was invented and what it was like after it was invented. I actually just recently read a couple. But, you know, when I think of time, mostly I'm thinking about my to-do list, unfortunately, these days. And when I slow down enough to think about bigger topics, then I'm thinking about how in the world does this work? Where is God? How is he everywhere all at once? What's going to happen to me? What's eternity? And oh my goodness sakes. And then your mind is off to the races. And then you just draw it back to binging out on something on Netflix so you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I love that you use the word clock, because that's where my brain went as well, that the clock kind of marks, or more precisely kind of says this idea of it's like this lever that says we're in it or we're not, right? And so when I think of the science of time, I believe that at least this is what I remember being taught in high school and actually college too, to a certain extent, that this idea of physics tells us that time is a property that results in the existence of matter, and therefore time exists when matter exists. And so that's where I kind of take a stop and a step back, because I don't believe that our God is matter. You know, that God, in fact, created matter, and therefore the bottom line is that when time, God created the universe, and when God was creating the universe, he was already existing, right? And since there was no matter, God doesn't change, because time has no existence and therefore no meaning and no relation to him, because he's outside of it. And I think of baking a cake, right? When I'm mixing up the batter, cookies or brownies or whatever you like to do, if you like to do that, it's in the bowl and you put it in the oven. That's how I kind of refer to God and time. Like, I'm outside of the oven when I close it and it bakes and it cooks, and then I pull it out because I'm the God of that batter. Not to say that I'm a God at all, but I'm outside of the batter. I'm outside of the cooking process, just like God is outside of time.
Yeah, and God's inside of time if you're a follower of the Christian faith. And this matters a lot. Why are you guys talking about this? What does this have to do with biblical manhood? Well, the biggest challenge we face is, what am I going to do with this life I've been given? Why am I here, right? It's the big existential question. And if you're going to live a life as a Christian biblical man, you got to understand current time, eternal time, where are we going? My life really about? And the Bible does spend a fair amount of time talking about this, and so does Jesus. You know, in our belief system, God invaded time, right, to come and rescue us from the fall and from sin and all of that stuff. And so getting an understanding of time actually leads to freedom in Christ. If you understand how we think about time, how Christians think about time, how we believe that God exists in relation to our time, it can change everything about how you live your life. It can bring a lot of freedom and a lot of relief. But you do have to spend a little bit of time thinking about it, because otherwise, all you're going to be driven is by the clock. And, you know, Christians are largely responsible for the clock. It's monks that made it a practice to live by a clock so they could have multiple times of prayer during the day. And Christianity dominated Western civilization at that time. And then, you know, the clock gets adopted. We all start to live our life by it, right? Like, you know, from the sundial to now, that clock has been driving humanity mercilessly, right? Maybe it's the greatest invention of the enemy ever was to put us on the clock.
I had no idea that the monks were the originators of that clock, Jay. That's a cool little call out there. So as we walk into this week, and I'm just trying to think practically how I can kind of take some of these ideas or concepts, should we be excited as Christians that God is outside of time? Should I be excited that he knows during my stresses, he already knows the end of that? Like where he has me in my journey right now, I've got several conversations coming in. I've got several, you know, hustles that I'm kind of walking through every single day. Does God know the end of that result, Jay? Has he already planned it? Is that predestination? Like, where's the choice in that freedom? Like, talk me through your thinking around if God's outside of time and I'm walking through my day, does he already know the end because he's all knowing? How does that work for you?
It's a great chart. And on the y-axis, one kind of time. And on the x-axis is our linear time. And we're living life in linear time on this planet, but each second of our moment on the y-axis is almost an infinite timeline for God, who sits at the very top of that y-axis. And so he is everywhere all at once. You know, there's that great movie last year, like Everywhere, Everything, All at Once. I can't remember the title, but God has the ability, because he's outside of not only infinite time, but he's sitting on top of it, that every moment of our life that ever will be and ever has been is the current present moment for him. And so it's like a story with multiple endings. Can God see all of our choices that could have been? Probably. Did he see the one we made? I think so. C.S. Lewis says, think of it like a book. The author of a book knows where the characters are at every moment of their timeline, from the beginning to the end. But the characters don't know. They have no idea what's coming. They don't know if the current crisis they're involved in is going to resolve or not resolve. But the author knows, because the author can see the entire character's timeline in front of them at all times. And the Bible says that that's true for us too, that God formed us in our mother's womb, that he knows everything about us, right down to including how much hair is on our head, which in my case is not as much as used to be, and that he knows what's going to happen. Is it predestination? No, we have free will. This is the mystery, right? And Paul says, today you see through a glass darkly. You know, you don't really know. We can't really understand. Our brains can't comprehend those timelines, that little chart I was talking about. But if you understand this moment, this life is so tiny in comparison to my eternal timeline. If I'm a believer and I'm saved and I'm going to spend eternity with God, that it's a wisp of smoke, the Bible says. But it's not designed for me to get everything I want to get right now. I'm here now just learn and to serve the Lord and to help other people and love people and get as many saved out of this fallen and broken world into eternity, where I'm going to experience real life and where time is going to have an even different experience, right? Think about your dreams. You don't experience time in your dreams the way you experience it when you're awake. I think, and again, I'm no theologian, and you're just listening to my ramblings from different readings, but I think eternal time is going to be a lot like dream time. We're going to be there and living, but it's going to be a lot more crystal clear than a dream, because it's going to be more real than anything you experience today. But you're not going to be sweating the clock, because that's not the way it's going to work there. And the promise of Christ is it doesn't have to work that way here. If you can learn to live in the present moment with Jesus, trust God, it all under control, and be used as a vessel for him to execute his plans in this current time. Now, that's all very difficult to do. This is a highly complicated topic. But if you just draw it down to its simplest form, it is, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Trust me. ask me what I should be doing today, serve me, because you're not a citizen of this world anyway, like we've talked about, and I've got a plan for you, and you'll stay focused on me. We can execute that plan, love people around you, and get as many to the promised land as we can.
Wow. There's a lot in there, Jay. I was like, that's an episode, that's an episode, that's an episode, as soon as you started hitting some of those major themes. Goodness, thank you. What a cool recap. I do want to hit scripture, and Jay, I want to read two things that you said there prompted me to quickly look up some scripture. Your response to this. So the first one was you speaking about God and how he had made everything, and I thought of Genesis and that he sees everything. So Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. There was an evening and there was a morning and a sixth day," but saw it as he was making it, to your point with the author. But then I thought of how scripture reveals to both of us, to all of us, right, that God lives outside of the bounds of time as we know it, and that our destiny was planned before the beginning of time. And I thought of Timothy, where it says, or I think 2 Timothy, excuse me, "Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of the works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave in Jesus Christ before the ages began." And then in Titus, it says, "In the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." It was leading me towards that idea in Ephesians where he said, "Even as he chose us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." Jay, by faith, you and I, all of the listeners that believe in Jesus, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command with God's snap, right? And so what is seen by us was not necessarily made out of what was already visible. The physical universe, in other words, what I'm trying to say here is, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we experience was created not from existing matter, but from God, the source, independent of those dimensions that you and I can perceive. So let me pause. I'm leading us towards this idea of God is spirit, Jay. God is the word. He is spirit.
He's spoken into existence. And what I think is super exciting is he's involved in it today. So God is three in one. You get the Father, who is overseeing all things. You got Jesus Christ, who's engaged, and he sits at the Father's right hand, and he's interceding, and he's rescuing. And you got the Holy Spirit, who is just everywhere all the time, interacting, living in us, acting out in us. And in this particular moment, on this planet, in this timeline, God is getting his mission accomplished through us, but we have to be available to him by coming to him, having the Holy Spirit living in us, and then responding to the prompts. Because just because we're a believer, we can ignore everything God's trying to do through us to execute his plan. And I think it's pretty exciting, because one of the things we've talked about here is, once you become a believer, you get your citizenship in heaven back. You no longer are a citizen of this world, but now you're just a resident alien living and waiting until you go home. But you've got a mission, right? We've talked about you're part of the French Resistance once you become a believer, and it's World War II. And you're behind enemy lines. The number one challenge I think we all face as believers is believing that.
Yeah.
And setting aside all the things we wanted and had planned for our life here on this little timeline to say, awesome, I'm now part of something bigger. God, what is my mission and how do I execute it in the context of the story I've been given in this particular book, which is the book of my life on this planet. But that is just a chapter in the larger book of my life, which is my eternal life. And so I struggle with this. I think about it all the time, but I get caught up in the current timeline. I've got a busy job. I've got a busy family, and I lose sight of this all the time. And then in the still of the morning is where the Lord talks to me the most. He'll remind me, get back on mission, get back on mission. And one thing I'd like to offer up to the listeners as we're closing out, Chica's the brain guy, and we can talk about things like recency bias and all these things. But honestly, if you don't like how things are going, just wait a second and pray hard, because it's going to be over before you know it. You're going to be on to something new. And in 5 years, you're going to be looking back at this crisis thinking these were the good old days. So, you know, this life is moving fast.
Sometimes it's 5 days, right? Especially when it's an immediate panic or an immediate anxiousness or an immediate stress. That's such a good call out for this week, Jay. I really think that as we walk into this week, I need to, you need to, we need to be thinking through when I do get all riled up in that moment, in that crisis, in that panic, potentially, whether it be at work or at home or in the bedroom, that there's just take pause. And we keep coming back, and I hear as a major theme across our podcast, ask Jesus right there. Like, what should I do? Bring yourself under his authority and just pause and ask him, Jesus, what are you doing right now?
Don't worry if you can't see a way out of your crisis, because the way out is going to be so much more miraculous than you can even possibly imagine. He's so much more creative. And the way you think it's going to end, I got news for you. Wherever you're at today, if you're hearing my voice, however you think it's going to end, the whole thing, the current thing, the little slice you're focused on now, it's not how it's going to end. And if you're a believer, the most important thing we can do, and I struggle with this every day, all day long, I'm fighting to get back to it. And when I'm living in it, my life is going best. What are you up to, God? What's my role in it? How should I be thinking about this? Jesus is very explicit. Worrying about anything is a waste of your time. It won't add a second to your life. And don't think about tomorrow. Today's got enough trouble of its own. Stay focused with me in today, because God is always operating in the now. Now. Right now. Now. And the nows will move along until you graduate into eternal life and you're experiencing a whole different time.
And all right, Jay, let me pray. Listeners, thanks again for another great week on the podcast, and we will pick it up soon with maybe the same, maybe a different topic. Heavenly Father, we know that you are spirit. And Lord, we know that as we take pause today, ask, what are you doing? You are here now, and you are the creator of time. And so we know that with all that you have made, it is good, and that we are part of that goodness. And so, God, as we wrestle with the spirit of time, that we know that you are in control, and that rather than us bending to our flesh desires, Lord, that we can take a step back and just know that you are in control, and that you are eternal, and that you are here with us right now. And so, Lord, we bring our lives under your authority, our wives, our houses, our work. And as we walk into this week, Lord, let our work pleasing to your will and bring you glory. We love you very much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.